You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 18th, 2021, and there's still mixed signals coming from the White House for the illegals down in Mexico and Central America that want to come to the U.S. Biden has now said, I can say quite clearly, don't come over. Yet at the same time, his head of Department of Health and Human Services and Homeland Security setting up what they call reception centers to take care of those who come on over. And down in Central America and so forth, the storyline among those living there say, well, we see these pictures of others getting across. We need to go now before they shut it down. Stephen Miller was Trump's top advisor on immigration issues at the White House. And he said Biden's transition team was warned by career Department of Homeland Security officials, if you change and tear up what we had, you're going to have catastrophic consequences. And he said immediately when Biden went in, he shredded it and created a rapidly escalating emergency. And it continues. Yet the head of Homeland Security under Joe Biden, Mayorkas, appearing before Congress yesterday, and he gave ground on a couple of Republican points, acknowledging the administration may not have adequately notified communities that we're sending a lot of migrant teens and children to you, not adequately notified. How about you didn't give them any word they were going? And he admitted that, yes, some people were released without being tested for COVID-19, but now we have a new program. Give me a break. And he went on to insist, we have a plan. We're executing our plan. We will succeed. Still doesn't want to call it a crisis, right? Well, Texas Governor Abbott in Dallas, really upset. He spoke at a hotel across the street from that K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center where FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, so it must be an emergency at least, housing 3,000 teenage boys from 15 to 17. And Abbott says that site and others where they're putting up in Texas and elsewhere are a result of Biden's reckless open border policies. And they're not being transparent with us. We're not allowed to even find out the health of those kids. We're not allowed to go inside. And they're in our state. We're going to get into that in more detail in this segment coming up after news and commentary. In the meantime, the Democrat-controlled House of Representatives set to vote on two immigration bills. One would provide a citizenship path for illegal immigrants and legal status for immigrant farm workers. The bills are going to be taken up. It may be underway right now as I'm speaking. They're going to start the vote on that. This would be about 4.4 million illegals could become eligible for permanent residency if the bill is passed, according to the Migration Policy Institute. And we do have Senator Graham and a group of House Republicans promoting an amnesty plan for illegals in the U.S. The idea, they say, is, as Graham said, they came here as kids. They didn't know anything. You told them to go back to the country. They don't know what you're talking about. You've had people who lived here for decades. They worked hard assimilating the country. There's no place for them to go back there. There is a place for them under our terms here. And that sounds good, and it is good. But that also says, so if we get in there in the future, somebody else will say, all right, another amnesty plan. But you do know what's happening, what Mexico is getting, because Biden's already talking about more taxes. Ford Motor Company says it's going to move a $900 million investment originally intended for Ohio to Mexico. Trump brought all these companies back to the U.S., cutting taxes. Now they could see the writing on the wall. Oh, get this, Disneyland is finally open in Anaheim, California, or it will reopen April 30th. Been shut down for a year because Governor Newsom said, oh, we cannot open. And yet in Florida, Disney World only shut down for 4 months. It's been open with a limited capacity since July. Two different governors, right? Florida, a Republican governor. California, a Democrat governor. who's facing a recall because they're really ticked off at the way he's locked down the entire state. Well, we got news for you out of New York City. He's trying to make points, and he thinks this is the way to do it. 2 weeks before the start of baseball season, here comes New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and said, we are going to allow outdoor stadiums, the Mets and the Yankees, to have fans of the games. Now they're saying 20% capacity at this point, but we're going to have baseball. And he said, New York has always been smart and safe all through this. How the hell does that man make that statement after putting people into nursing homes to die? There's your governor, I should say, your governor of New York, Cuomo.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Today I am directly asking the Biden administration to allow the Texas Department of Public Safety to access this facility across the street at the K. Bailey Hutchison Center, as well as the other federally run facilities in Texas, to be able to talk to these unaccompanied minors. We must get to the bottom of the human trafficking and put an end to it.
Those are the words of Texas Governor Abbott in Dallas. As you heard him say, he was just across the street from that hotel, or actually I should say the convention center, the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center, where FEMA is now housing some 3,000 teenage boys ages 15 to 17. And supposedly they could be staying there at that center for up to 90 days. Governor Abbott says all of this is a direct result of Biden's reckless open border policies. He's making some very good points along that line, and he also points out that when we're trying to understand what's going on in there, when we're trying to understand what's going to happen next with these folks and where else they're going to go, and other cities are going to end up with them at some point, but are they going to be told in advance, or are they just going to be dumped into their city? We were told over and over again, this presidency will be the most transparent in history. I don't know how they spell transparent. Maybe they spell it as blindfold or something of that nature, because they're not being transparent on this at all. They're hiding, they're shifting, they're reorganizing, they're redescribing terms. It's not a crisis, it's a challenge. And we don't have detention centers, we have reception centers, as if that's going to make everything better. But Governor Abbott says we have to consider what's going on reference health. I mean, if COVID is a big deal, and of course, keep in mind, in Texas, the governor said last week the state can open up, no more mask mandate. The city of Austin, because its blue leadership, decided we are going to insist on masks still in Austin. And now the city and state are involved in a suit going back and forth. But if there's a jump in COVID cases, you know they're going to be blaming, the left will be blaming the decision by the governor to do that. Not all the illegals coming across, not even just the ones that are captured and put in some of these reception centers, but those who didn't get stopped. So again, the Governor Abbott saying, we're not getting any good information from the Biden administration.
The Biden administration is not being transparent with either the governor of Texas or the Texas Department of State Health Services. We need to know what the health situation of these kids are. We need to know if they've been exposed to variants of COVID. And if so, is it the Brazilian variant or whatever type of variant?
And that's a critical issue. We're being told that some of these variants may or may not be affected by the vaccine. And he mentioned the Brazilian variant. Now, that's another one that suddenly surfaced. Will it be different? Will it be something that can not be handled by the current vaccine? We don't know. There'll be a lot of that stuff. It's very much like every flu season normally. We have a vaccine given for the flu, and it may end up not being that strain that hits us that year. And speaking of the flu, have you heard of anybody having the flu lately? No. And if they have anything like that, I think it's they're saying it's COVID. Now, I've got to take a moment to share this. Let me go off to the side here for a moment. I saw this cartoon put up. Actually, it wasn't a cartoon drawing. It was showing a couple of people, three people talking. And the woman said, well, he died a natural death. And the guy at the desk saying, you pushed him off of a cliff. And she said, well, gravity is a natural death. And he said, all right, I'll just put it down as COVID. I have no doubt some of that stuff's been going on to some extent. And that's been the confusing part for a lot of Americans. You don't know what to believe. It's Dr. Fauci one day, put a mask on, don't put a mask, double mask, maybe no mask. Maybe we can open schools? No, we can't open school. I told you before, it reminds me of what I call a blinker philosophy, a turn signal philosophy. It's on, it's off, it's on, it's off. That's what they're doing. Well, right now, it's gotten to a bigger issue now in the border states because we have had 100,000 come across the border since all of this has suddenly opened up under the Biden administration, and they are expecting even more. I mean, and the problem in Texas, again, as it is elsewhere, the law enforcement agencies have their hands tied. Listen to Governor Abbott.
Our law enforcement, the Texas Department of Public Safety, they need to do their job. Part of their job is making sure they track down and prosecute anybody involved in smuggling. Once the kids get over to the state of Texas, they are still involved with coyotes and smugglers and people like that we do have the ability to arrest and put behind bars. The Biden administration is not letting us gain access to that information so that we can arrest and prosecute those who are assisting this immigration process.
And when that happens, law enforcement is handcuffed themselves. And as always said, the Biden administration has been very touchy about using the word crisis. They don't like that word. Crisis indicates that we don't have control. Memo to the Biden administration, you do not have control. If you have to send FEMA in, you're sending the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which in its own name says emergency, tells me that you don't have control. But they're just trying to gloss it over. It's kind of like the kid that sticks his finger into the cake icing and gets a little bite. Mama comes along and sees it. Oh, so she smooths the icing over so nobody knows somebody's finger has been in it. This is what we see with the Biden administration. Cover up, conceal, ignore, deny, constantly. And yet, how many times have we talked about the threat to these children in particular and the smuggling, the child smuggling that's going on? I would love to hear one leftist, one Democrat tell me why they think it's good to let children be smuggled across a border and maybe put into a sex den somewhere to be used as a toy and eventually death. Chuck Fleshman, Congressman Fleshman, Republican of Tennessee. He said these border and immigration policies from Biden are fueling a humanitarian crisis that is hurting and killing migrants, and particularly children. He said these poor human beings are being abused. It's dangerous. Many are sick. Many are dying. And to the great credit of the U.S. and our great humanitarian heart, once they get here and are in the facilities, they are being fed three meals a day at tremendous cost for the taxpayer. But before they get here, it's a disaster. And pointing out that transnational criminal cartels who smuggle drugs and people are beneficiaries of the Biden administration's open border policy. As he said, the coyotes, the cartels, every ill actor are benefiting from this, and Biden is doing absolutely nothing to stop it. And adds, in fact, that cartels are taking advantage of the migrant families. They charge a lot of money to bring them across. We had that point made yesterday. The Biden administration, by this action and inaction, is actually funding drug cartels. Now, I know they say, well, we're not. Yes, you are. If you're allowing them to make money doing this, you might as well be opening up a door for them to sell their drugs somewhere then, because they're going to do it anyway, and sell children. Governor Abbott says it's clear to him the Biden administration is clueless.
Last week I was on the border and I talked to Border Patrol officers, and they told me at the time that the Biden administration had not provided Border Patrol officers with COVID vaccines. And I called out the Biden administration and said they needed to correct it, and they did. My hope is that the same thing will happen this time. And that is, I've called out the Biden administration for not allowing us into these facilities, for not cracking down on human trafficking, for not addressing the COVID situation of these children, as well as the welfare of the children, as well as not even having facilities capable of taking care of these children. The Biden administration is not prepared for the massive inflow of humanity that's coming to the Lone Star State. And so I hope that they will respond to this plea as quickly as they responded to the one I issued last week.
But he's not holding his breath. I want to share a piece written by Chris Kobach. It's an opinion piece. He served as the Secretary of State of Kansas 2011 to 2019. He's an expert on immigration law and policy, was an informal advisor to President Trump. He did co-author the Arizona SB 1070 immigration law and represented in federal court 10 ICE agents who sued to stop Obama's 2012 DACA executive amnesty. Here's what he writes, and I mentioned this a moment ago. The Biden administration has been touchy about using the word crisis to describe the catastrophic flow of illegals across our border ever since he took office. Most Republicans think it's because of the administration's reluctance to admit failure. Note this next point. More likely, it's because the Biden administration doesn't see this as a failure at all, and in fact, their plans are succeeding. Just a little bit more than they had expected, he adds. And he goes on to say the Biden administration intentionally caused a surge of migrants across the border. It started on the first days of Biden's presidency. He announced a 100-day pause in deportations. That sent an immediate and undeniable signal to those in Mexico, Nicaragua, Honduras, Guatemala. Migrants understood it as, quote, you have 100 days to make it to the U.S. If you make it in, you get to stay. And, of course, the Biden acting DHS Secretary of State at the time, certain non-citizens ordered deported to stay in the country will be allowed to stay because they won't have time to check things out, so they're not going to be deporting them. ICE officers, he points out that the situation for them is desperate. He said they're unable to remove more than 80% of the aliens who have been removed from the country under the Trump protocols. Undertaking the removal of a less threatening illegal alien now requires getting special permission from the anti-enforcement holdovers from the Obama years who are running the agency. And that is rarely granted. So he's pointing out, this is not a failure in the way that we think it should be. It's what they wanted. It's what the Biden administration wanted. His point being, it's not a failure at all. Their plans are succeeding just a little bit better and more than they expected when it comes down to. And Governor Abbott says, this is just the beginning.
Americans need to know this. This is just the very beginning of what's going to be a massive expansion of the number of people coming across the border. It will grow tenfold and a hundredfold, especially because of the way the Biden administration has handled this. Remember during the presidential campaign when all of the candidates said, we want open borders. Well, guess what? Biden has provided those open borders. He's inviting everybody in, and the floodgates are now open, and Texas is at the forefront of it.
And back to the article written by Chris Kobach, again, who had been a Trump informal advisor on immigration law, but also an expert on it. He said, so who's benefiting from all this absurdity reality? First and foremost, the Mexican cartels. They've seen their trafficking numbers triple, and it's just not human trafficking, it is drug trafficking. But cynical politicians on the left also benefit. They succeed in turning California blue over the past two decades by replacing U.S. citizen voters with low-income migrants who vote overwhelmingly Democrat. New Mexico followed, along with Arizona, which is in the process of flipping. But Texas, and Governor Abbott knows that, Texas is the ultimate target. And he states again, it is not an unexpected crisis. It is a plan that yielded bigger results than the Biden administration anticipated. We're the victims of a plan that they wanted anyway. Is it going to be stopped? Take a break when we come back. Eric Swalwell still on an Intel committee. One congressman says time to get his butt off.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
In the military, we get vetted on whether we are able to get classified material, top secret material, and it's extensive, and they go back into your background through your whole life. But we don't do that in Congress. So you're allowed to get elected and then put in a position of really great responsibility. And Eric Swalwell's been compromised, you know, no matter how you look at it, he has been, because here he was, he engaged, built a relationship with a woman named Fang Fang, or Christina Fang, a woman from China, and she engaged with him, helped him with his campaign, got him, helped get him into Congress. And he was either naive or gullible, but either way, he didn't recognize what this woman was doing, which to me would say you don't belong on the Intelligence Committee. But when you're compromised, you've done something you shouldn't have done. And in the military, when that happens, you're removed from the military.
Yes, you are. Those are the words of Congressman Brad Winstrup, Republican of Ohio. He is on the Intel Committee. I almost laughed a little bit when I heard him saying that, Swalwell was either misled or, you know, something. I know what, we all know what it was. He was sex-starved, I guess. I mean, he's got this beautiful Chinese woman who seems to be adoring him and following him around like a little kitten. And so, yeah, you know, why not? And then supposedly when the FBI did tell him that she's a Chinese spy, he said, I broke all relations with her. But there have been conflicting stories about that as well. Some members of his family saying, well, he's still been communicating with her. So I don't know what the real story is, other than the fact that, yes, they are certain she was a spy, and she got involved with him when he was running to be a city councilman. She started that early, grooming him. And then suddenly, he's elected to Congress. She helped him with that. And then, suddenly, he's on the Intel Committee. She made some big points back in China. Look what I groomed and where he is now. And here you heard Congressman Winstrup point out he should not be on the Intel Committee just based on all these allegations. That's, you just can't do that. And the FBI said, by the way, the same woman went in and tried to make friends, you might use that term, with some, at least two mayors across the Midwest. They have not identified them. But Winstrup points out something else, and this is key. Please listen to this point.
This occurred before Eric Swalwell even got into Congress. But since he was in Congress, Speaker Pelosi knew about this, and then she appointed him to the Intel Committee. Now, this is the woman who could end his career tomorrow. She could do that tomorrow if she felt like it, just by saying he doesn't belong on the Intel Committee and maybe doesn't belong in Congress. But no one's being straightforward on this. But she also can hold this over him. And if you think about what he's engaged in the last 4 years was pure politics. He's been out there advocating for this Trump-Russian collusion scheme that was brought on by Democrats. And to this day, he has not even admitted that the dossier was false. So it seems that he's incapable of recognizing foreign intel schemes, and therefore he shouldn't be on the committee. At this point, I think Nancy Pelosi owns Eric Swalwell from what she knows about his past.
I think he's absolutely right. And House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy today filing a resolution to get Swalwell, off that committee, to get him off. The reaction from the Democrat, Swalwell, this is the new McCarthyism. When we come back, Hans von Spakovsky for the Heritage Foundation joining us. Democrat election lawyer cited for misleading conduct. You think there'll be a full accounting? Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around another 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER. Or you can check their website, rottler.com. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My next guest, many of you have heard him numerous times, but too often I have to really shortchange some of his background. I want you to understand this man's background. He had, by the way, served for a period of time with the Federal Election Commission. He's also, under President Trump, had served on the Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity. He studies and writes about campaign finance restrictions, voter fraud, voter ID, enforcement of federal voting rights, all is heading up the think tank at Heritage Foundation for Election Law Reform Initiative. Excellent background, and always glad to have him on board. Hans von Spakovsky, welcome back, sir. Glad to have you.
Larry, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Well, we're always glad, and the audience is as well, and those credentials say everything about you. You have a piece you wrote for Daily Signal that states the headline, Top Democratic election lawyers sanctioned for misleading conduct. I saw the headline. I thought, you mean they're actually going to be called to account? What's going on here?
Yeah, you know, Mark Elias is not a household name. I mean, the average person's never heard of him. But in Washington, D.C., everybody knows who he is because he is the main lawyer for the entire Democratic Party. He works at a law firm called Perkins Coie. He's the head of their political law group. And he literally represents, I've lost track of how many Democratic candidates he represents, but most importantly, he represents the Democratic National Committee, the Democratic Senatorial Committee, which tries to get Democrats elected to the U.S. Senate, and the Democratic Congressional Committee that gets people elected to the House. And he He was the legal general last year behind almost every single lawsuit that was everywhere in the country against states trying to change their election rules to get absentee ballots mailed to everybody, to get rid of voter ID laws. And in 2016, he was actually the lawyer for Hillary Clinton, and he was the guy, his firm, that hired Fusion GPS, which, as you know, created the totally fraudulent Steele dossier
right.
that was then used to go after Donald Trump. And he was just, he and the other lawyers he works with were just sanctioned by the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, ordered to pay the attorney's fees of Texas and double the cost incurred by Texas.
Wow, yeah. I like that. I like that. Again, we're talking about Mark Elias, folks. As Hans was saying, his background is extensive on what Elias has done. Washington Post reported on him in 2017 that his involvement in the financing and internal dissemination of the Trump research underscores the influence he was wielding behind the scenes in Democratic politics. And as you said, the Texas case that came along, that was dealing with retired Americans and a Democrat senatorial campaign committee and all this wrapped up. And Mark Elias was heading up, again, the team that's now been cited for misleading conduct?
Yes, for misleading the Fifth Circuit. And the case they filed, it not only demonstrates the absurdity of the claims that he and his firm have been making, but also how bad so many of the Obama judges are that he specifically goes venue shopping to find. Here's what happened in Texas. Texas decided to get rid of straight ticket voting. Only a handful of states have that. For folks who don't know what that is, basically, in states that have straight ticket voting, when you get your ballot, instead of having to decide on in each race which candidate marking it, they have a big thing up at the top of the ballot where you could just mark the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, and that automatically casts your ballot for every single candidate of that political party.
Right down the line.
Right down the line. And Texas decided to get rid of that. And if you could believe this, Mark Elias filed a lawsuit claiming that that was racially discriminatory.
Of course. Pull that card up.
And a violation of the Voting Rights Act.
There's nothing in the Constitution that says a state can't set something up like that or decide to abandon it. But he's claiming claiming every bit of that is a violation.
Yeah, and look, it has nothing to do with race, but it's such an absurd claim. And yet, what did they find? They found an Obama-appointed federal judge who actually said that the extra time that a voter has to spend to actually look at each race and decide which candidate to mark violated the U.S. Constitution. Can you believe that?
No, I cannot. But they got a judge to go along with it, which raises another big question. What was happening with that judge and the legal team that brought that case in?
Well, that's exactly right. But it shows you what terrible judges Barack Obama put on the court. Now, fortunately, this all happened prior to last year's election. Fortunately, Texas filed an emergency appeal with the Fifth Circuit, and the Fifth Circuit dissolved the injunction and basically said, look, there's no case here. So very recently, the case was still going on in the Fifth Circuit because Mark Elias and his folks are trying to basically reverse what the Fifth Circuit decided. So they filed this motion that violated the local rules, that was repetitive, completely repetitive of a prior motion that the court had already denied. They didn't tell the court that. And so the Fifth Circuit was pretty angry about what they had done and said that they violated their duty of candor to the court.
That's strong language, the duty of candor to the court. I mean, they are officers of the court as well. They are officers of the court, and they're supposed to abide by the rules. They know that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And they actually called the motion that Elias filed a vexatious motion, which is that's pretty critical when a judge says that. So in addition to the attorney's fees and double the cost, the court encouraged them, each of these lawyers, to take 1 hour of continuing legal education on ethics and professionalism.
I love that.
And what's interesting about this is the order very specifically said that the attorneys have to personally pay these sanctions. Perkins Coie, the law firm they work for, can't make these payments.
Whoa, what's that amount to?
Well, we don't know yet. Texas will have to submit to the court, you know, a listing of how much they spend having to respond to this motion.
So the law firm itself cannot cover it for them, but I feel that they're going to give them a bonus, and that just happens to cover the penalty.
Well, I think that might violate the spirit of it, but
I don't hear they're interested in the spirit, Hans. I don't hear they're interested in even the facts of the law.
Well, that I think actually is probably true. But like I said, it's a big win for Texas, and it is a reminder, you know, and I say this in my piece, that look, even if you represent very powerful clients and the organizations he represents are very powerful, that doesn't relieve you of the kind of ethical obligations you have as a lawyer.
You know, that brings to mind a case, and I'd like kind of your take, and you can be more generic than specific. The other day, when the state of New York had notified state police that there was a charge against Cuomo that might rise to the level of criminal violation, that the attorney basically for Cuomo actually notified the state, and I was pointing out to the audience that they're duty bound by being an officer of the court that if they find something like that, they got to report it. And a lot of folks were asking, well, why couldn't they just keep it quiet? What would happen in a case if a lawyer knows that this information is vital to the case and it needs to be presented for an investigation and they just keep it out? What happens?
Oh, I think potentially, depending on who they are, that it might violate the model rules of conduct, and you could potentially be punished or disbarred by the bar. I mean, a good example of that is that prosecutors have to turn over to defendants evidence that they run across that would tend to prove the innocence
right.
of the defendant. They cannot withhold that from the other side. If they do, that right there is a disbarrable offense.
Well, I this is a fascinating little case, and I'm glad to see finally they got some slap on the wrist, but I'm afraid that's all it's going to come. Do you think it will have any lasting effect going forward?
No, I don't, but I also thought it was very interesting that this got almost no attention in the national press.
You and I
both know that if one of the lawyers represented Trump
yes.
last year, if this happened to them, it would have been front page news at the New York Times.
That's the difference, isn't it? And so we're still going through that. Well, when it goes back to before you joined us in a prior segment, we were talking about the push to have Swalwell kicked off the Intel Committee, McCarthy leading that. And the result of the reaction from Congressman Swalwell is that this is just modern McCarthyism. So anytime it doesn't go their way, you're the one at fault, not us.
Yeah, well, I think that's because leftists tend to project onto everybody else the things that they actually do.
I agree. Hans, as always, we appreciate your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You'll be able to do it again. Hans von Pakoski of the Heritage Foundation. That's always a great interview with him. Coming up, who would want to ask the Michelle and Barack Obama when they had sex at a particular time? What would prompt such a question? And it continues. You haven't heard? I'll share it with you. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So when you're a candidate and you're campaigning, you say a lot of things that later you have to eat or hope everyone forgets. A perfect example that stands out in history, George Bush saying, read my lips, no more taxes, no new taxes. And boy, did that blow up at his face. Biden tried the same thing because Trump was warning in advance of the election that he's going to raise your taxes. He's going to raise your taxes. And Biden was saying, no, I'm not. I'm not. And then he did an interview back in August with ABC News. He said, I will not raise taxes for most people. I will raise taxes for anybody making over $400,000. That's a lot of money. You make $400,000? Well, I'm happy for you. You make $399,099? Well, then you're not going to be taxed, right? You think. Well, the interviewer said, so no new taxes for anyone under $400,000? No new taxes? There's no need for new taxes? And Biden quickly said, no, I don't will raise taxes for anybody making over $400,000. We'll fast forward from the election date to now. The White House press secretary saying that we're actually going to have a tax hike that would apply to those who earn $200,000 per year. That's half of $400,000. That's going to catch a lot more people. We're going to tax them if they're married to someone who makes the same amount. That's still kind of sticky language, don't you think? She's claiming that the proposed $400,000 threshold for tax increases applies to families rather than individuals. But that's not the way it was sold at the time. And again, in an interview with George Stephanopoulos earlier this week, Biden said, anybody making more than $400,000 will see a small to a significant tax increase. If you make less than $400,000, you won't see one single penny in additional federal taxes. But immediately his press secretary had to come out and say, well, what he meant by anybody doesn't really mean anybody. When he says $400,000, it doesn't really mean $400,000. Well, the bottom line is, too, also what they're doing, corporate taxes. I told you earlier, Ford Motor Company is at a plant. They're going to spend $900 million in Ohio. They're going to Mexico now. They will get out some of these taxes that are coming. So a late-night host, Jimmy Kimmel, raised a question that apparently he's been consumed with for some time as his guest, Michelle Obama, was with him. The question itself, you have to say, where would you come up with that kind of nonsense? And why do you think this is good material? And it's fun. And she's been through it before, and so she's trying to find a way to make it kind of light, but it's absurd. It's a poor example of comedy. Here's Jimmy Kimmel.
A couple of years ago, I interviewed you in Tacoma, Washington, in front of a big group of people. You were on your book tour, and we had a great talk. It was a lot of fun, and everyone was very excited to see you. And I asked you a question that night, and I actually asked your husband this question as well, and he kicked it back to you. I asked you that on the night that SEAL Team 6 took out Osama bin Laden at your husband's order, did you and your husband make love that night to celebrate?
You know, I have to tell your audience that for some very sick reason, you were very obsessed with this portion of that major historical event.
Yes.
In a way that no one else, no one in the history of all the conversations I've had, has anybody drilled down on this particular point like you, Jimmy Kimmel.
You know, I don't know how, if she handled it the right way. The audience is laughing. She's trying to keep it. I mean, you can say, well, it's a joking question. I am a comedian, yeah, but, or she could have. I wonder what would have happened if they'd done it, as he said, he had asked it previously. In fact, supposedly that's the third time he's asked that question. The first couple years ago, second time Tuesday, and apparently a third instance where he did it. But one of them should have just said, that's none of your damn business. Secondly, that's a stupid question. You're proving your ignorance. But this is somebody on the left that likes the Obamas and appeals, and he thinks that everybody will have a good fun out of this. It was kind of going back to the days of Bill Clinton being asked when he was in one of those town hall meetings, and do you wear briefs or boxers? You know, and everybody, oh, look at that kind of question. Yeah, I'll leave it to you. You can judge. In my opinion, yeah, well, you already heard my opinion. Oh, by the way, the answer the president gave at one point, one of the times he was asked, he did not directly answer. In fact, he did say, I suspect she was asleep, because the truth of the matter is most of the time, by the time I'm done working, she'll be snoozing. So that was his way to kind of get out from under it. That's comedy. That's comedy today, right? Kind of like you can't have Dumbo the elephant. You can't have the Aristocats. But we can have that kind of stuff. And we can have the Grammys the other night with Cardi B and whoever all over themselves. I mean, that's acceptable. We need to keep a closer eye on this, folks. I appreciate you joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. Of course, let your friends and neighbors know. I do appreciate you sharing the word. And remember our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.